This is a Collider.com audio interview.
How are you doing? What have you been up to?
That's a good question. I'm doing well. A lot. Generic answer. What do you want to know?
What are you doing this weekend? How are you watching the Super Bowl?
Bears Colts. Well, we have this. This movie we're talking about, Grey Matters, is at the Santa Barbara Film Festival. So I have to go up there. So I'm going to be a guy all by himself in a hotel room watching the Super Bowl. Neighbors, shut up over there! I'll be inviting anyone by. Are you cleaning the room? Do you want to watch the bowl? Like, have some chips, have some dip. That's what it's going to be like.
Did you and Heather have a special bond for both having been on Scrubs?
That's interesting. You know, we never we've been in the same episode, I guess, but we never, our storylines between never met. You know, but you know, she I had a great time over there. I'm doing that show for years. You know, and they're great. And she. You know, they love her over there too. But I think, you know, it was almost like, oh, by the way, yeah, you do Scrubs too. You know, we'd forgotten about that. We, you know, Heather and I got along from the beginning, and I don't know if you've talked to her yet, but she's a very welcoming, you know, accessible person. She's really nice. So we, you know, we bonded over many things, but Scrubs might not have been one of them. Yeah.
What was the bonding process on this film?
Basically, for us, it was like her beating me up. You know, like very early on in our time together. You know, she started slugging me during scenes, and the first time she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I was like, "Girl, you can't hurt me." You know, and so then it all became a thing about whether she could actually, you know, lay the beating on the boy. So a lot of our scenes and a lot of the more violent stuff actually didn't end up on camera because they're like, can you tone it down a little bit? This isn't like Ultimate Fighting. But we, you know, we had a lot of that going on. And ultimately, you know, like that contributes to the brother-sister relationship a little bit. It makes it seem kind of more real on screen, I think. And she loved doing it, I can tell you that much. So it was fun.
And did she hurt you?
She never really did. You know, it's funny. She's a strong girl. You know, she's in good shape. But that must have been like the fact that we had like the scene going, and so I wasn't even paying too much attention. I'm more like concentrating and getting the lines right. But no, she, you know, for all her wailing away, I can't say I walked away with too many like permanent injuries.
Was there a lot of freedom on this? That you guys could, you know, you're trying to get the lines right, but was there freedom to?
Yeah, I think you know, you don't. Sometimes you get that with a first-time director, and other times you don't. In this case, we certainly did. You know, she was like, you know. The idea of like the auteurship of it for her was not the most important. Getting the story right was, you know, and yeah, we had a lot of room to, you know, to play around, you know, and Sue was gracious, the director, Sue Kramer, gracious enough to allow her actors to kind of, you know, get that kind of playfulness out on screen without worrying too much about whether we were like sticking to exactly what was in the script. You know, that's an indulgent way of kind of describing it, and I don't mean to be that way. It's just literally like, yeah, we had the freedom to, you know, to goof around like the way brothers and sisters do.
Yeah, but this is a special kind of sibling closeness. I
mean, yeah.
How challenging is that, really? I mean, ended up with the wrong leading lady.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, it's funny, like, you know, I mean, I don't know that you have to get along with the other person, you know, to do a competent acting job, you know, but I always kind of do feel, personally, my own personal opinion, that something ephemeral gets translated to the screen when the people really like each other, you know. It certainly doesn't hurt the process if you like the other person, I think, you know, and, you know, we got along great. For Sue's movie, she wanted these people to be two peas in a pod. They finish each other's sentences, you know, they get along, they have the same interest, they know everything about each other, they're very, very close, you know, and fortunately, you know, whether or not that translates to the screen, you know, we felt comfortable doing that. I come from a big family, you know, and, you know, this seemed very, for me anyway, seemed very familiar, you know, it's that kind of like, you know, even that physical thing, not to make light of it, but yeah, beating on each other. It's like, that's, families do that, you know.
Did you rehearse?
We didn't have a huge, the thing we rehearsed the most at the beginning of the movie, I don't know if you've seen it, but at the beginning of the movie there's an opening dance sequence. And, you know, because we wanted to get that in a continuous shot, we had to know the sequence, you know, we had to know the whole thing. So that one we spent a decent amount of time working on, and that would be the thing I think that we would rehearse the most.
Heather was saying that you really nailed the dancing. Was that?
I think that's a generous way of looking at it. You know, like, I mean, if if the mistakes are there, they're ours, you know. But you know, she, you know, again, she's like, that's a nice thing for her to see. She's great, you know. She's danced before. She's good. It's all, you know, a woman who's light on her feet is always going to make the guy on her arm look better, you know. So I don't know necessarily that we look good, but we were, you know, we're trying to, because this, for Sue, this movie is a tip of the hat to the 40s musicals. And when you lead with the song Cheek to Cheek, you want to try and do that idea service, you know. So, you know, it was a fun thing to do, notwithstanding the fact that, you know, all my guy friends were like, oh, what? Another 4 hours of dance rehearsal with Heather Graham? Oh, that's really tough. You know? Yeah.
Could you forgive someone who made out with the person you loved the night before you were marrying them?
Could you forgive someone who made out with the person you loved? Well, heck. I mean, I think that depends on the individual and the sequence and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, in this movie...
Was it a hard place to get to, I guess, for this character in some respects?
You know, I think that's a good question. First off, I also think that, you know, it's a bit of a, I mean, it's a focal point for the movie, and I think no matter who you are, you're stung a little bit when, you know, the idea of infidelity is raised, be it like something frivolous like this, you know, a drunken moment that the person doesn't even remember. But I think for people's initial instincts are probably to protect themselves, you know. And I think in this movie, I think that's where we go. It's like the first instinct is like, what? With who? You know, and you feel, I think that's Sam's first instinct, is like to protect himself. And then I think, you know, better, you know, I don't know, better, what's the right word? Emotions or reasoning takes over after a while, you know, and he realizes that, you know, this woman who did this is his best friend, not to mention she's his sister, and there's probably another way of looking at it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, to answer your first question, who knows? That would be depend on who you are and the individual. You know, you'd have to be in that situation, which hopefully none of you ever are. Unless, of course, you know, it's two women and... Well, I won't be
there. Have you ever met anyone randomly like you did in the movie, in a walking through a park?
I have. I'll never forget a friend of mine. We were in college together. This woman walked by, and, you know, this woman is, you know, to use a colloquialism, was out of our league. And, you know, we spent about 3 minutes talking about it. And then he just, without, you know, we're talking about how she was out of our league, not talking about what we could do about it. And then in mid-sentence, he ran away from me. And I have this distinct vision of him running across the quad, you know, stopping her, like, you know, like, you know, drawing back from him, and then him, like, you know, supplicating with the hands, and then them coming closer to talk together, and then her writing out her number, and then him running back, you know. And it's just like, wow, you're a superhero, you know. Like, it's just like one of those kind of like great moments. So, you know, it does happen. Whether you go to the extent of getting married on the first thing, it's like, you know, that in this movie is you know, in some people might call it a, you know, a reach of cinema, but truthfully, you know, I've had friends that have done that. You know, they're not together, you know, still. But I've also had friends who are together, you know, who've done that same kind of thing. They just, like, you know, they've met the person, and they know, you know. And, you know, if Vegas is close, then, you know, sometimes, you know, that ends up getting, like, consummated and solidified very, very quickly.
But when you became an actor, did the women who were out of your league before, were they suddenly in the league?
Those women are still out of
my
league. Yeah.
How about Valentine's Day? It's coming up, and my editors are looking for either really romantic Valentine's Day stories or funny disaster stories.
Somebody asked me this question, and I realized Valentine's Day is coming up, and I wish I was the guy that had that great go-to story. You know, I think that in terms of, like, those go-to stories, you should ask Heather Graham that story. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know.
She didn't have one.
She stymied you. She stonewalled you,
do
huh?
You know her story?
Yeah, but if she didn't, the volunteer, I can't throw that out there. Listen. I can't.
Do you have any plans this year?
You know, this movie is, like, as weird, as awkward as this is, this movie is coming out then in New York, you know, so we're going to... How romantic is that? Hey, come to a, you know, a movie we're in. But
I could work with those girls that are out of your league.
You think? I think people see through that kind of sham.
What is your biggest character?
They first off, the director Sue Kramer was nice enough to ask me to read the script, and then her and I both live in New York. We met for a coffee and talked about it, and she asked me to do it, which was I'm grateful she did. I had a great time doing this movie, and I have to say, Sue's idea, there's been a bunch of movies coming out. Or not a bunch, I shouldn't say. You'd know more than me. But, Chicago, the musicals that are, the musical, they're getting some attention. But truthfully, those things are not remakes, but remakes of existing, existing musicals. Whereas this thing is, they did this movie recently called Down with Love, or fairly recently, which was basically an homage to those movies by essentially repetition. Whereas this thing was they're trying to tip of the hat and make an homage to the musical romantic comedies of the 40s, but set in modern day. I don't know necessarily that we achieved it, but I think that's a conceit you don't run across every day. And that was probably, for the actors, probably like the most tempting thing about the movie.
Would you say Sue wrote that character just for you?
I think Sue wrote these things very... I think the movie is semi-autobiographical, and I think certainly the gay themes that it touches on are stuff that she's familiar with because when her sister came out of the closet, there was something that she wanted to do to serve her sister and serve her sister's story, and a lot of that is in this movie. And I think she wrote the characters to try and tell that story. I don't think she had people in mind, but I know that the minute she met Heather, and this movie was 6 years in the making, but I know that the minute she met Heather, she felt, oh my God, this is the woman that has to play Gray. And it worked out well because Heather's bankable and hopefully, is the kind of person that can get a movie made and put people in the seat. So that I think that was the first big step. I my thing was kind of like once they had Heather, they could make the movie, and then it was just a matter of plugging in the pieces. Which, by the way, I think she did, for you look at the cast of this movie, the fact that you have Alan Cumming and Sissy Spacek and Molly Shannon, Bridget Moynihan, like the cast of this movie is, for when we made it, a small independent, is a pretty nice cast that she put together.
What kind of parts are you being offered these days, and what kind of parts do you want to play, and is there a disparage between those two?
I think the key word there that I have to be careful what is offered, there's a huge factor that is basically the do they want you factor. You the kind of parts that you want to play are wide and across the board, from good guys and bad guys. This Warner independent movie I did recently called Sublime was a kind of a dark thing, and something that probably I wouldn't be the first guy you'd think of, but it's been extremely helpful to have done it in terms of like having people perceive you in a different light. And at the same time, as an actor, I think all you can ask for, or the thing that as an actor you want, is being able to do, the parts that go across the spectrum, good guys, bad guys, what have you, and then again it comes to that thing as well, do they want you? So if they do, that's always a great thing.
What made you go into acting, Tom? How did you all start?
I just always had it in me.
You mentioned about this being a personal story for Sue. Did you talk to her or her sister or anything to get some ideas?
Oh, her sister Carolyn was, she'd come to set. She's on set a lot of the time. She's been like a huge supporter of the movie. I think she's extremely proud and happy for Sue. This is a small movie, but any movie that gets made, any script that gets written is an accomplishment. I mean, any movie that gets made and ends up in a position where people are coming to talk about it, it's not a small thing. Whether the movie, does anything in terms of like viewership is almost beside the point. It's an accomplishment already. And I think Carolyn, I think, is extremely proud of Sue, and I think Sue is extremely proud of Carolyn, and I think that, At the end of our last shooting day, there was a lot of tears and a lot of raising of glasses to the two of them.
Does that mean in that equation that you were playing your director? If it's autobiographical, were you sort of based on her persona?
You'd have to ask Sue that question. I think Gray was the mirror of Carolyn. I think that was the most personal that it got. But, you could ask Sue and she might have a different answer.
It seems like you kind of disappear for the middle of the movie while Heather's realizing her issues. Are there any deleted scenes where you would have popped up more frequently, or is that?
No, I don't think so. I think that this is Heather's, this is Gray's movie. You know, it's like, and Heather plays Gray. You know, and you know the people that revolve around there, around her, you know, contribute to her story as best they can to tell a good story. I'm one of those pieces. You know, the better those revolving stories are, the better it is for the main character.
Some performers go into real meltdowns when their series ends.
Sure.
No, but they do. You know, it's like the end of the world. I mean, how was it for you when Ed ended? Are you more resilient, or?
Well, Ed. You know, I think that for us, I thought you were talking about Love Monkey, which was last season, and that, you know, that was...
Well, that was very short.
Yeah, that was a little more difficult because, you know, we had, you know, high hopes about New York record producer was like, you know, A&R guy was like, we felt it was a long shot for network television, but, you know, we also felt, you know, if given the chance, this is the kind of thing that, you know, was certainly seemed different. You know, we weren't picking bodies off slabs and, you know, investigating scenes. It seemed like a different kind of thing, you know, and ultimately it didn't go. And so I think most people who are involved in network television will tell you that, you know, if given a season, or even yet, if given a 13-episode order and getting those episodes on the air, and if the viewers don't come, I think most people tell you they'll walk away. They'll feel they were given a fair shake, and, you know, if the viewers didn't come, they didn't come. I think a lot of people will tell you at the same time also that not getting less than 13 leaves a lot of unanswered questions. You know, you feel like you don't know that the potential is ever realized. In terms of Ed, I never, you know, four seasons was, I think, exactly what Rob Burnett and I had, in fact, as I know this because we talked about it, you know, we talked about four being what a great number, because you were still in, but you weren't tired of yourself, and you were still kind of you weren't on the downside of the slope. I think for that season, that number of seasons for that show was perfect.
Well, you ended on a good note, and you were ready to move on.
What was really nice about that ending for us is, like, we'd come to that, you know, we'd already agreed that that was going to be it, and we knew it was going to be it. And I think a lot of series don't get a chance to say goodbye. And I think that could affect people a little bit differently. Having a chance to wrap things up, you know, to tell everyone that this is going to be the last three, you know, the last five, last seven episodes, knowing that, and knowing that this is your last, you know, last time as a group together it's a really nice thing. And not a lot of series get a chance to do that. Sometimes it's just a phone call in the middle of the night. You know, this thing, you know, there's a lot of great things to be said about having a chance to say goodbye.
Are we going to see Ed on DVD?
Yeah, I guess they're talking about it. I mean, last I heard is they were close on season one. I think the stumbling block, as is a lot of the times, is the music rights. You know, they were fortunate enough because of the clout they had as the Letterman producers to get a lot of great music as one-offs. And of course, when you put those, you know, on a DVD, that becomes a whole different thing. And I think that's a difficulty. But, you know, it'd be nice to be hopeful. It'd be nice to have a little something to, you know, to have a paperweight on the desk with.
You'd come back and do commentary and stuff?
Gosh, I don't know. That might be the death of the DVD. I'd like to hear what the producers have to say. That's for sure.
You've done TV and film. Do you have a preference right now for the future?
No. You know, it's funny. I'm talking. I've done a bit of. You know, recently I've been doing. I had a couple. I was doing a Broadway show, and I've been talking to these guys about this stage thing, which would be great. I love that. You know, so for me, again, the idea of the will they have you is always important. And for me, it's like, if it's television, if it's theater, if it's film and it's good, you know, then, you know, I don't make much of a distinction between the three. You know, I think that there's only so many great stories out there. If you get a chance to be a part of one, it doesn't matter what it is.
I bet your agent makes a distinction.
You know, not really. What's nice is you have to have an agent that believes in that. You know, like, truthfully, you know, I think, you know, if you guys have been doing this for a while, then you know that, you know, the line's a little bit more blurred now between film and television. You know, I think it used to be like the film people did the films and the television was considered, I don't know what it was considered, but maybe a lesser thing. I don't know, you know. But now it seems, you know, you see James Woods doing Shark, whatever the thing, Ray Liotta doing, you know, there's a bunch of, it seems to me like there's an aura of legitimacy. And truthfully, I think that is for the actors, because, you know, there's a there's a lot of movies out there that maybe don't make the grade, you know, and there's only a few that are like do make the grade, and so there's a lot of talented people writing television. If you get to go in and tell a good story every week, you know, that's a great position to be in. And the other thing is actors like to act. You know, I'm that way, you know. It's like television offers, if you get with the right people, it offers a lot of great things because you're doing it every day.
Going back to Grey Matters, what audience do you think are mostly attracted?
I don't know. You know.
Hoping.
Well, I mean, for us, we're hoping a lot of people watch it. I don't care what walk of life they're from. You know, it's like it'd be nice for this movie to get attention. You know, I think it's a very hard thing to do. You know, to have a small movie catch on. You know, and so at a risk of sounding crass. Numbers, you know, it'd be great if there was a lot of people. I don't care who or where they're from. Great if a lot of people watch, so that more people watch, the more people will watch. That'd be nice for the movie.
With regard to your possible return to theater, is it another musical you're looking at?
Yeah, I don't want to jinx myself, but yeah, well, actually, one is and another one isn't. So yeah, one's a straight piece and one's a thing. But you know, getting something up. And running is a long road, and we're not far along that road, but at least, you know, we've started walking down it.
Are we
yes.
talking?
Sorry.
This last question was tricky.
Okay. In Grey Matters, there seems for a moment that Heather Graham's character might actually get Bridget Moynihan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you, in your personal life, ever had any hot lesbian friends block you from a date?
Have you had any hot lesbian... I got to run through that sentence. Have I had any hot lesbian friends block me from
any
a
women,
date?
Any women, you know, thinking
here's the
women
thing.
That
I know that if that had happened, I would remember that. So I want to say that. I don't know, for better or for worse, I want to answer no, okay. But I certainly do appreciate the question. You ain't had hot lesbian friends block. I think that's the first time I've been asked that. Safe to say, I didn't have a hot
you
lesbian
had
friends
blocked.
I can ring them up for you if you're interested.